Will you pray with me? Telling Father, you are good and you are great. And we thank you, Lord, for how you've sustained us over these many years. And that despite our inadequacies and our failings, you have been relentlessly faithful. And yet, Lord, may we not only be a people who rejoice in times of prosperity, but in times of difficulty. May we have hearts of gratitude right now, that in the middle of all that is going on, that we would know that you are showing your love to us. May our faith and our hope bring you the honor that you deserve. And so, Lord, help us to see you in the middle of our struggles, to remember your love and faithfulness, and that we might be a people who persevere with joy. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, Lighthouse. Every year on the last Sunday of April, we celebrate our anniversary as a church. 17 years ago, with a small group of people, we held our first service at Magruder Middle School. And in grace, God has sustained us week after week since then. And it seems like an odd time to celebrate, doesn't it? Just the fact that we are not together would seem to be the stark reminder that this doesn't feel like a time of rejoicing. Beyond this, we have many people who are struggling and those who have experienced loss. Our hearts are so heavy and grieve with the Bray family on the passing of Beverly. And we have others in our church who have lost loved ones as well. So how do we celebrate when people are grieving and fellow members are on the front lines of healthcare and brothers and sisters have had big or important events canceled and loved ones are struggling with loneliness? Of course, it's not that everyone feels horrible all the time, but even for those who are doing relatively well, they're hurting for those who aren't. I thought to say, it seems more like a time to lament than a time to celebrate. But I think in this, we must consider why we celebrate every year. It's not simply to have fun or to pat ourselves on the back. It's to remember. In fact, one passage we have looked at on our anniversary Sunday on more than one occasion is Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's a passage where Moses is warning Israel on the cusp of entering Canaan not to forget God when they experience the prosperity of the promised land. The idea being that when things are good, they would be tempted to take credit for what they had done and to forget the Lord who had been faithful. And this has been good for us to consider because God really has been so very kind to us as a church. And so we too are in danger of forgetting all that he has done. So the purpose of remembering and celebrating our anniversary is actually the opposite of congratulating ourselves. It's us doing our best to acknowledge and remember that whatever has happened in and through Lighthouse has been by the sovereign grace of our Savior. We are not the product of programs or talent or organization or intelligence. We are the product of the grace of God. But again, it brings us back to the idea of why celebrate our anniversary this year. After all, it definitely doesn't feel like a time of prosperity. I don't know if anyone is in danger of forgetting God right now because things seem to be going so amazing. And again, it feels more like a time of lament than a time of celebration. But here's why we remember our anniversary in the middle of the pandemic of 2020. Because just like in prosperity, in times of lament, we must remember God. Because similar to times of prosperity, in times of lament, we are tempted to forget God. Not that we forget that he exists, but he is not, like Pastor David described last Sunday, the reality that overwhelms us. He's a part of our life, but not the focus of our life. He's a little help, but not the only source of hope. We would say he's good and loving, but we feel like he's distant and uninvolved. And so in our difficulties, instead of focusing on God, we focus on our struggles. They dominate our thoughts, fuel our fears, and feed our anxiety, so much so that we wonder where God is in all of it. But all this means is that in times of lament, we must remember God. Now, biblically, lament is when we express the pain and questions of our hearts to God, all the while allowing our sufferings to lead us to him, so that we might grow in faith and love. Now, the Bible is full of lament. In fact, more than a third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament, meaning that Israel was actually supposed to come together and sing songs that cried out to God in their pain. And so let's briefly take a look at a Psalm of lament, Psalm 77. The ESV Study Bible describes it as a community lament suitable to a time when the people of God are in a low condition. Pastor Jason shared from this passage in Friday's Truth for Troubled Times devotional. And he mentions that there is an almost emotional messiness to the psalm because the author is acknowledging his anxiety and fear and how distant God seems. We don't have time to go look at the whole thing, but listen to what he says in verses 7 through 9. And notice how the author feels in his suffering. Psalm 77, verses 7 through 9. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at the end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Selah. There is a sense in the psalmist's struggles that God feels distant and his grace has seemingly disappeared. In fact, the author's problem isn't that he has forgotten God, but he feels like God has forgotten him. He feels like God is not there for him. So what is the solution? He remembers God. Verse 10, then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. Years of the right hand has to do with looking to the past, the years, and seeing God's strength, his right hand. The idea being that the psalmist looks to when God was faithful in the past to remind himself of how God would be faithful right now. Then he says this in verses 11 and 12. I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. So what does he do? He remembers. As I said earlier, in times of lament, we must remember. Now, this is more than a simple recalling. The psalmist elaborates and says by remembering, he ponders and meditates on what God has done. In other words, to remember is to think deeply on the power and faithfulness and love of God. Now, what is important to note is that there are two focuses to his remembering. First is their salvation story. If we were to read the rest of the psalm, we would see how the focus specifically on God saved Israel out of Egypt and was faithful to them in the wilderness. Now, we might see the Exodus as just another Bible story, but realize the Exodus helped define Israel as a people. The God of the world had chosen them and poured out his favor upon them and declared that they were his beloved nation. He made covenants with them and promises to them, and these truths defined them, right? And they were made to determine all of life for them. The Exodus was their salvation story. And so in the Old Testament, they were often told to remember their salvation. But I think this reminds us that at all times, but especially in times of lament, we must remember our salvation story. We must remember the gospel. The gospel being the reality that God created us to live for him in joyful, loving obedience. But all of us are sinners, meaning that we have broken God's law and deserve eternal punishment. And yet despite this, God sent his son Jesus to die in the place of believers. That is what Jesus was doing on the cross, taking our place, suffering the wrath that you and I deserve so that we would never have to. Jesus was treated like a sinner so he could treat me like a son. We have to remember this is not only for eternal life, but everyday life. Because the gospel puts God's love and faithfulness on display in the most glorious way, we don't have to question it in our sufferings. Right in the middle of the coronavirus, the gospel reminds us that God will always be unfathomably loving and relentlessly faithful. Okay, so the psalmist focuses on their salvation story. Second, the psalmist focuses on God's faithfulness in everyday life. In verse 12, the psalmist says, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Sometimes of lament, we should look, and remember our past and consider our present and be reminded that God is always faithful. Amidst all that is happening, have you looked at the many, many ways that God has been faithful to you? What then is the result of remembering God in our lament? It's faith and it's hope. In verses 13 and 14, the psalmist writes, your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You're the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the people. When we remember God, we grow in faith and hope. So here's my encouragement during this season of lament. We must be a people who remember. With all that is going on, instead of simply thinking deeply about a virus, we must think deeply about our Savior. And so remember the gospel. Preach it to yourself every day. Let the love and faithfulness displayed in the gospel be the constant reminder that God will be faithful to you now. And remember, too, how God has been faithful to you in so many other ways, so that just as he has been faithful to you in the past, he will be faithful to you right now. With that in mind, what we wanted to do for the rest of our time is remember God through testimonies. So we've asked some members of our church family to share some of their stories of grace to encourage us to remember our Savior and to fuel our faith in him. So first off, we're going to hear from Ryan and Jordan Shiozaki, followed by Gavin Lothian, and lastly, Kane and Amy Kuo.
Hi, Lighthouse family. My name is Ryan, and this is my wife, Jordan. We consider it a tremendous privilege to share about some of the ways God has blessed us through our time here at Lighthouse and how the gospel truths we have learned here have helped us to hold on to our greatest hope in Christ during a season of life that has surely been different than what we would have expected or planned for ourselves.
We've both been attending Lighthouse since 2012 and have been encouraged to be part of this church family because of Lighthouse's commitment to gospel preaching sermons, biblical counseling, discipleship, evangelism, meeting for family small groups, and serving. A brief history of us, Ryan and I started dating in college and got engaged in March of 2019. We had planned to get married this year on March 28th, 2020. Since the beginning of wedding planning, we shared two common hopes for what our wedding would hopefully represent. Our first hope was that we would be united in marriage in a way that reflects Christ and his love for the church. And our second hope was that we would be able to display the gospel clearly to all our guests. Originally, we planned to have a larger wedding with all our loved ones and prioritized inviting guests who may not have a relationship with God. We reminded each other on several different occasions that this wedding was a celebration of a perfectly holy God bringing together two imperfect people undeserving of his grace and kindness. And even though we didn't deserve a smooth wedding, we were really happy that everything was going extremely smooth for the first 11 months of planning, at least. On March 11th, we found out that the governor recommended that gatherings of 250 or more be canceled and the virus was officially considered a pandemic. We weren't prepared for how hard it would be when a few of our elderly guests started to regretfully withdraw their RSVPs, even though we knew this was the best for them. This was a tough one to swallow because we were planning to honor my grandpa and Ryan's grandma, who had both passed away in the past 3 months. And now we were facing the reality of our living grandparents not being able to safely attend. At this point, we received confirmation from our venue and caterer that they were still planning to hold our event. This gave us a glimmer of hope that we'd be able to have the ceremony we initially envisioned, minus a few of our closest loved ones. A few days later, a new recommendation came out from the president that no more than 50 people were to gather. Ryan and I heard this news while we were at work. We texted each other so that we could meet and pray to ask God to help us hold on to a better hope, trust in his love for us, and remember his abundance of grace as we grieved things unfolding in precarious ways. Let this be a testimony that God's truths and hope overshadow tough circumstances like this one. Because honestly, the next morning after our shifts, our hearts were at peace with God's will for our wedding and our lives. Together, we praised God for clearly showing us that we had put our trust in him and could continue to do so with no hesitation. That night, we sent out an email explaining to our guests that our wedding was canceled and that God was always in control and to be trusted. Now we arrive at March 18th. It's funny to think back on how a couple of weeks before we were devastated to hear that it might rain on our wedding day. And now we were laughing at ourselves as we drove to San Luis Obispo to get our marriage license for an unknown wedding date at the only county clerk office open in California. We grew to celebrate and appreciate simple joys more fully with Lighthouse and our families. That same day, Pastor David casually mentioned that he would be willing to wed us in an emergency wedding ceremony if a mandate for LA County to lock down were to happen in the coming days.
Although we considered the possibility of such a lockdown announcement as being unrealistic, Jordan and I had difficult discussions between ourselves and our families as to what it would look like to still have a wedding while abiding by the recommendations of governing authorities. It was tough on all of our closest family and us to consider a wedding without the vast majority of our guests. Conflicting thoughts began to creep up in my mind as I began to worry that we were being selfish, endeavoring to be married in the midst of a pandemic. Perhaps that we were focusing on ourselves too much rather than the needs of people around us. Another fear I had was that we would look back and almost think of our marriage as being less legitimate or less faithful because of the lack of attendees and the rushed nature of the event. By God's grace, two of our friends, Megan and Pastor Eric, patiently counseled us through our burdens by pointing out the danger of intensively over-scrutinizing and weighing two courses of action by pitting one against the other until we found the perfect solution. Instead, their encouragement was to pursue what we had already prayerfully discerned was God's will and timing, and was immensely valuable in granting us greater peace with continuing to pursue marriage during this tenuous period. The next day, it was March 19th, and we were caught off guard when by 6 p.m., the mayor and the governor had announced the stay-at-home mandates that were to go into effect at midnight that night and are still in place to this day. It was at that time that Pastor David reaffirmed to Jordan and myself that he was ready to wed us that night. Jordan and I had a brief conversation on the phone while she was at work at Cedars getting ready for her shift. Then she proceeded to call her manager to discuss the situation, to which he replied, "Go get married tonight." 3 hours later, we gathered together for the best event of our lives. If that depiction of our wedding feels like it was rushed, it's because that is exactly how the night felt for us. Yet we are beyond thankful to God and our lighthouse family who made it such a special wedding ceremony. Pastor David was unwavering in his commitment he had made to counsel us and walk with us. Our friends were so excited to help out that they even beat us to our wedding venue, and our parents were as overwhelmed with joy as we had ever seen them. And praise God, I can say that whatever fleeting thought that we had that our wedding would feel less real or less amazing went out the window. I finally had my beautiful bride in Jordan, and I am so thankful that I was able to commit my life to loving her and leading her in a way that symbolizes Christ's love for his church. Jordan and I sit here today 1 month into our marriage, and we are so thankful for the sovereignty of God, the love of God, and the wisdom of God, the three pictures of God that Pastor David shared with us in his homily that help us persevere in never-ending hope in our Savior who has loved us so lavishly. And even though our wedding plan certainly did not go as we had initially planned, we can now see clear ways that God has used these circumstances for furthering his kingdom and for his glory. We have been given a platform to proclaim with our lives that Jesus is better. Through emails we have sent to all of our guests, we have been able to share about the peace that we possess that results from knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. Because we never had a formal wedding reception, we are even more motivated to reach out to our unchurched friends to walk alongside them and show them Jesus, not simply through a normal ceremony, but in everyday life. And instead of going on a honeymoon, we currently have the great opportunity to work with hospitalized patients to pass on the same gospel message that saved our souls, with the hope that they too would experience unending joy, knowing that their hope is secure in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus.
We're so thankful for you, Lighthouse family, because you've taught us to think highly of God and his word. You've walked alongside us during challenging times and our highest of highs. We are encouraged by your love for God and others and see that your hope is constantly set on something greater than the things of this world. We considered Romans 5, verse 2 to be the theme of our wedding, and we rely on this verse today as much as we did before. The Apostle Paul says that through Jesus, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
We praise God for the community of faith we have here at Lighthouse. Our encouragement to you would be to lean into the family here at White House for prayer, encouragement, a listening ear, and counseling, especially during this current season of life that is new to all of us. We've been abundantly blessed and encouraged by the love that we have been shown by all of you, a commitment that we know is rooted in you all knowing the vast love of Jesus Christ. We pray that our hope will always rest surely on the anchor we have in Christ, our Savior, who died in our place so that we can live for his glory forever. We love you so much, our Lighthouse family. Thank you.
Hello, Lighthouse family. For those of you guys that do not know me, my name is Gavin, and I'm an intern here at Lighthouse. My testimony is one of the Lord's faithfulness to me when I was and still am completely undeserving of it. I remember arriving into LA June of the 10th, 2019, completely unaware of what I was getting myself into. I'd only heard about Lighthouse through Josh Carroll, who was my undergrad professor. He asked me if I wanted to be an intern at Lighthouse, to which I eagerly and unawarely said, yeah, sure. I never looked at the church website. I never visited the church. I never heard of Torrance. I had only visited LA for a few hours, but without knowing what I was getting into, the Lord was gracious to pave the way forward for me. And since being here, I've been able to see the Lord's goodness to me far more than I deserve. But right before this chapter of Lighthouse, graduating from my undergrad degree and leaving the community I knew for 3 years, I really questioned God. I asked the Lord, Lord, where am I going to find a community like this? Little did I know that he would provide such a wonderful community here at Lighthouse. I remember entering into the office doors, the church office doors, being embraced with such hospitality and love and acceptance by the staff. And what makes it even more special is that the same way that they treated me back then is the same way you guys treat me today. It reminded me a lot of Romans 12, 3-5, that regardless of culture or background or ethnicity, I was a part of the family of God. And I saw that reflected at Lighthouse, from the staff all the way to the little kids calling me Uncle Gavin. I remember when I first moved here, my living situation was a little questionable. I was living in an Airbnb that was not what I expected it to be at all. And on a quick side note, please read the overview over and over and over before you book an Airbnb. Don't be late me. But a week after arriving and starting my internship, I got to meet one of the young families that were serving in Praxis at the time. The day after I met them, I was sharing with them my living situation. They told me that I can stay at their home during the time they were out of town. And I didn't even remember their names. Yet, this hospitality was one of the many ways that I've seen the Lord's faithfulness to me through these past 10 months. From serving me food, to having me over for Christmas, to giving me a car when mine broke down, to meeting my financial needs when I was scammed $1,000. Lighthouse, you have shown me in a watching world Christ time and time again, and I am so thankful. I still don't know what all the reasons as to why the Lord has me here. And I probably will never know in this life, but if there's one thing that he's shown me evidently is that in trusting his direction, he is gracious to provide. Even here, I've made some foolish mistakes, some funny and some not. And yet morning after morning, his mercies remain new. And I pray, brothers and sisters of Lighthouse, that wherever the Lord places you, wherever he calls you or he has you in, that you would trust him with all the details of your life, knowing that he knows better than you know yourself. And he knows exactly what you need. Your life is no longer your own. You are Christ's. It has been bought with a price. Trust that although your life is no longer your own, he is still good to keep you in his love for his name's sake. Even now in this pandemic, I I've been so grateful for the many ways the Lord has been gracious to me. From the Zoom Bible studies I've been able to have with my Praxis friends, to Zoom dinners, to the constant truths from our pastors, I've been so blessed by the many ways we as a church have been thriving in this season. It is by no means easy. And for myself, I've seen how the Lord has shown me a lot of things that I've been treasuring over Him. Things like comfort and health. But I'm thankful for the constant reminders that my hope is founded in something far greater than this world can ever offer. The season will pass, and we will be reunited one day. But even more so, this is pointing me to the real reunion that will take place in paradise when we will see our living Redeemer in a glorified body that will never know sickness or pain or suffering as our eyes behold Him forever. Lighthouse, how I long to see you there, not as Lighthouse, but as the Bride of Christ. So I give thanks to God for the way He has brought me here to be with you for however long a season. He truly does know what we need and what's best for us. I love you, Lighthouse. Thank you for being a people I can call my brothers and sisters.
Hello, Lighthouse. My name is Kane, and this is Amy. We have been attending Lighthouse for over 13 years. We have been married for 20 years. We have two daughters, Samantha and Kaylin. When we first came to Lighthouse, Sammy was 5 and Kaylin was 2. And now Sammy is in college, KK is a sophomore in high school, and they both drive. This is another reason why
it's safer at home.
We moved to Torrance 13 years ago when I started my career as an emergency physician. Today, we want to share about God's goodness and faithfulness, His goodness in calling us to Him, His faithfulness to His purpose for us, and His faithfulness in providing us hope in this uncertain time. My career and life path are not at all unique. I'm a kid from an Asian immigrant family that played violin and became a doctor. If you went to a med school reunion, it would take you all of 2 seconds to find 20 other people with the same background story. And if you ask, they will all probably tell you a similar message, burned into our brains from a young age. Make no excuses, work harder than the next guy, and you earn what you have. I didn't grow up in a Christian household, but for some reason, my mom took me to church in 6th grade, which, by the way, was where Amy and I first met. I'm gonna say I was a nice kid, so don't listen to Amy and her claims that I was obnoxious in junior high. I didn't mean to give her a bloody nose with that snowball. She calls it obnoxious, I call it flirting. And hey, it worked. Anyway, if you're wired like me, a career in medicine can be a spiritually dangerous one. It can be a rigorous and selective process that breeds and rewards self-determination and self-confidence. It fosters self-reliance on intellect and training. It breeds pride. Up until now, my career has been stable, offering financial security, purpose, and most importantly, the ability to own a fishing boat. I often erroneously think, though, that I am not in a position to testify about God because I haven't struggled enough in my life to merit the right to speak. I'll think that this reflects humility, but in reality, it's pride. It reveals my lack of recognition of how serious a sinner I truly am and how little I regard God sparing me the hell I deserve. It reflects how little I treasure a relationship with the God of the universe. Without God's calling, all people, when presented with God's word, will respond with apathy, maybe fleeting curiosity, or outright scorn. This, I think, would be especially true for me. I have the profile of someone who would be the least likely to need or seek God to be king of their life. And because of this, God has demonstrated His first of many acts of continuous grace to me. He called me. And because of His calling, His words in the Bible now speak truth to me, when so many that walk the same ordinary path as I hear only foolishness.
If faith could be passed down, it would have been passed down from generations of believers on my mother's side. I was brought up in the church, learned Bible stories, and memorized verses. But salvation is not passed down. Despite growing up in a Christian home, I had many inward and outward struggles with sin. I lied, stole, cheated. I was selfish, unkind to others, and unkind to myself.
She was a bad kid.
I cared too much about what others thought, and at the same time, did not care who I hurt. My teen and college years were pretentious and fake at best, and outright disobedient at worst. But at least I never gave anyone a nosebleed by throwing a snowball in their face. I hated my sins, but often felt powerless to fight them. But sometime during this mess, God called me and made me his own. Praise the Lord. My sins, they are many, but his mercy is more. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose."
If you have been attending Lighthouse for any period of time, you have heard this great promise. But it is not a casual promise to the world. It is a promise to a select group, for those who love God, for those he calls. It's also not a promise of health nor wealth. In verses 8, 29, and 30, Paul says that God's ultimate goodness to us is to make us more like Christ, because in doing so, we will one day enjoy the perfect, sinless relationship with God as Jesus himself has experienced since eternity. So God works all things, all circumstances, to achieve his greater plan for us, to make us like Christ his Son, so that we can enjoy God the Father. For weeks now, it seems that we are all waiting. In the ER, we have been mobilizing to anticipate for the COVID surge. Parking structures were converted into massive treatment areas. Sections of the ER have been walled off to create COVID wings. Intubating teams were created. Bioethics committees engaged. We have been waiting, 2 weeks at a time, it seems, for the fate of our community.
We are waiting for more PPE, more ventilators. We're waiting for a vaccine, waiting for a cure. We're waiting for the economy to start again, for companies to start hiring again, waiting to see our friends again, waiting to play volleyball again.
She's waiting to go fishing again.
We are waiting for things to get back to the way they were, waiting to get back to our lives.
I think sometimes we see our lives as being on a certain trajectory, and now we feel like we've been derailed by the coronavirus. Life has been put on pause, and we are hanging on, waiting to return to the better path that we were once on. Earlier this month, we celebrated Good Friday and Easter. Easter, the ultimate testimony of God's greater plans. Even the disciples themselves did not fully understand Jesus' mission. They too were waiting. They were waiting for their time, the time that Jesus kept alluding to, when his gloves finally came off and he would exert his authority and establish his kingdom, and they would rule together at his right and left hand. This was the disciples' good path, and it was what their story was supposed to be. It must have been confusing and fear-inducing for the disciples when Jesus, in his final hours, told them he was leaving them. But Jesus also took care to remind them that his crucifixion and the trials that would come were not from Satan disrupting the plans of God. He reminded them that God was still in control of every circumstance in their life. We now know that God's plan was greater. Christ conquered sin and death for us. And though he left the earth, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Through his ministry, the written Bible was inspired. The church was built, and I am here today. Amy is here today because of his higher plans.
Kane and I are already witnessing God's greater plan during this pandemic. We are listening to his word and praying together more. We are trying to share our faith more. We are filled with more thankfulness for each extra day that we have together. We are filled with more forgiveness. We are inspired by the examples of faith from our church family in their suffering. And we are humbled by God's love for us through our friends and family.
Oh, what joy filled our hearts and stomachs when snobby coffee, concha ice cream, fresh baked sourdough bread, and meatball sandwiches were dropped off at our door. We have been encouraged by our church family, sharing to us about their lives, asking how we are doing and how to pray for us. We've also been blessed by a virtual fellowship seeing the faces of friends, attending service, reading the Bible, and praying together. People have been sharing what they have: homemade masks, personal N95s for the hospital, puzzles and games, paper towels. People have been making themselves available to meet the needs of others, extending the amazing blessing of checking in while out on your own grocery run, offering their time and vehicles to help reach out to other families. We are experiencing a demonstration of the COVID-19 version of Acts 2:44, and all who believed were 6 feet apart and had all things in common.
If we consider even what has happened in the past 4 weeks, we can see that God is being faithful to exactly what he has committed to, making us more like Jesus. This means that we aren't on pause. We are not waiting to return to the better path. This is the better path. It is God being faithful to his purpose.
Amy and I always talk about growing old and demented together. Yes, this is the kind of conversation that's irreverent and you have from working in the ER. First, you come home and you're glad you didn't get stabbed in the face. Then you wake up the next morning thankful that you're still alive. And every now and then, you wonder what a demented version of yourself or your spouse will look like one day. Some people say, as you get older, the mind no longer has the filter capacity to hide what is truly underneath. So if this holds true, as I get older, I will become increasingly stingy and antisocial. And as Amy gets older, she will become increasingly generous, likely scammed on a regular basis, and continue to invite even more random people into our home. This is what our future story is supposed to be, growing old together.
In these past 13 years, Cain and I have more often been called to steward well than suffer well. Now, Cain might face COVID exposures at work for the near future or longer. He worries about bringing the virus home. We see how serious and heartbreaking these infections can be, and we wonder, will we be at peace if God wrote a different story for us? If growing old together was not meant to be? Will we continue to minister and witness to others? Will we continue to praise the Lord? Will we embrace suffering like Jesus and say, I am not alone, for the Father is with me?
Since God is making us more like Christ, he is also asking us to suffer like Christ. That means God asks us, in fact, commands us to do more than just survive this pandemic. Even at the hour of Jesus' crucifixion, the Bible says he loved them to the end. He loved. And even though the disciples would face much persecution and hardship, he still called them to obey his commandment to love one another and to testify about who he is. I think this is our charge during the pandemic, to strive to be more like Christ, suffer like Christ, love like Christ, and share about Christ.
Cain and I hope that we will be faithful like so many of you at Lighthouse have already been. The disciples must have faced even greater fear and doubt as they fulfilled Jesus' command. But the same Holy Spirit that empowered them is the same Holy Spirit in each of us today. The same Holy Spirit that ministers Jesus' promise, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And in this, we have courage, that it will not be by our strength, but God's strength, that we persevere and continue to love one another.
Lighthouse, I'm reminded every day in the ER that we don't know what the future will hold. We don't know what will be happening in the days, weeks, and months that follow. Will we flatten? Will we surge? Will we have already lost ones we love? Will one of our closest be fighting for their lives? Or will we be celebrating and meeting again? Regardless, we hope in God's faithfulness. His sheep know his voice, and if his word speaks truth to you of your sin, need for repentance, and convicts you to make God your king, then he has called you, and God's great promise is to you. He will pursue you with relentless purpose and orchestrate every circumstance of this pandemic to ensure that you become more and more like Christ, so that you can experience what everyone of this world seeks but cannot find: peace that endures and an unshakable hope in seeing our Father face to face one day. Thank you, Lighthouse, for ministering God's faithfulness to us all these years. We look forward so much to seeing all of you again in person one day.
What a blessing it was to hear those testimonies. I want to thank the Shizakis, Gavin, and the Quos for being willing to help us remember our God, to kind of draw our gaze from COVID-19 and back to Christ. And I hope that this week you'll continue to do just that, remember our Savior. Will you pray with me? Dear Father, we thank you that we got to hear those testimonies about the grace of our Savior, that have our gaze drawn from the coronavirus back to Christ. Lord, too often we miss your faithfulness and love. And so we thank you that this morning we got to remember through the lens of the lives of some of our church family. And so we do pray that you continue to work in and through the Shiozakis and Gavin and the Quos. And we pray that you continue working in and through the rest of us as well. And help us this week to continue to remember the gospel, to remember your faithfulness, that we might persevere with joy. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.